I'm Stephen Pythman. Welcome to Connections. I sing The Body Electric, a song of myself, a song of joys, a song of occupations, a song of the broad axe, a song of the rolling earth, a song of the universal. For Walt Whitman, the most influential American poet of the 19th century, music was a central force in his life and work, and so his poetry's appeal to composers should come as no surprise. But they have responded to more than his passion for song. They also find inspiration in his democratic spirit, his sensuality, his grief in the face of war, and his mystic vision. In the next hour, Whitman's settings by Ralph Vaughan Williams, Frederick Delius, Kurt Weill, Howard Hanson, John Adams, and Leonard Bernstein. Whitman, who lived from 1819 to 1892, has inspired more vocal and instrumental works than any English-language writer since Shakespeare, more than 1,200 at last count. His poetry follows no traditional scheme of rhyme or rhythm, and he believed there was a symbiotic relationship between the poet and society. Writing in the preface to his 1855 collection, Leaves of Grass, "The proof of a poet is that his country absorbs him as affectionately as he has absorbed it." And yet, American composers were not the first to embrace Whitman. The breakthrough came in Britain, where too many, the poet represented liberation from 19th century inhibition and convention. Among his first champions was Irish-born composer Charles Villiers Stanford, whose influence over several generations of famous pupils made Whitman the poet of choice for Ralph Vaughan Williams, Frank Bridge, and Gustav Holst, among others. Stanford asked Whitman for permission to set his poetry to music in 1884, at a time when critical reaction to Whitman was still ambivalent. To Stanford's request, the poet replied, "I cheerfully agree." In 1908, Stanford returned to Whitman's poetry in To the Soul, with its opening words, "Darest thou now, O soul, to walk out with me toward the unknown region, where neither ground is for the feet, nor any path to follow?"
Space. gravitation, sense, not any bounds, boundless. Then we burst forth, we float in time and space, oh soul, prepared for them, equal, equipped at last, oh joy, oh fruit of all, them to fulfill.
Thomas Hampson, accompanied by Craig Rutenberg, sang To the Soul by Charles Villiers Stanford. Stanford's pupil, Ray Vaughan Williams, took Whitman's phrase Toward the Unknown Region as the title of his first great work for orchestra and chorus, which debuted in 1907. Toward the Unknown Region marked Vaughan Williams as a major new British composer, even as he was setting to music the words of a great American poet. The finale is performed now by the Corydon Orchestra and Singers, directed by Matthew Best. Toward the Unknown Region by Rayfon Williams, performed by the Corydon Orchestra and Singers, directed by Matthew Best. Von Williams was attracted to both the mysticism and the spirit of democracy in Whitman's poetry, and he carried a pocket edition of Leaves of Grass on his travels for most of his life. Fellow Englishman Frederick Delius, whose rejection of conventional religion echoed Whitman's, had a particular affection for the American's poetry because it sparked memories of his own years in the United States, where he had been sent by his father to manage the family's orange groves in Florida. In Sea Drift, completed in 1904, Delius was drawn to the images of love and death, as Whitman observes two mating seabirds, particularly the male's bewilderment following the death of the female, echoing the human experience of loss and grief. The finale is performed by Bryn Terville and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra under Richard Hickox. Late in his life, Delius returned to Whitman for his songs of farewell, including a setting of Joy, Shipmate Joy, a poem that was also set to music by Rayfon Williams. In fact, Von Williams set the American poet's words to music on a regular basis, telling an interviewer in his later years, "I've never got over Whitman, I'm glad to say." His Symphony No. 1, a sea symphony, is built around Whitman's vision of the sea as a symbol of the vast, never-ending universe itself. It was, in a way, a continuation of To the Unknown Region, which Von Williams had written only 2 years earlier. The third movement is the most pictorial of the four, with a brisk wind whipping the waves as the chorus sings of the passing of a sailing ship. It's performed by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and chorus, conducted by Robert Spano.
At the sea ship, at the racing waves. Thank you.
the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra and Chorus, conducted by Robert Spano, in the third movement of Raphan Williams' Symphony No. 1, A Sea Symphony. Along with To the Unknown Region, this work put Vaughan Williams firmly on the musical map when first performed in 1909. No wonder he had a soft spot in his heart for Walt Whitman. American composer Howard Hanson set to music a poem by Whitman that combined the poet's love of the sea with his love of freedom. Whitman envisioned democracy not just as a political system, but as a way of experiencing the world, a concept beautifully captured in Hanson's setting of Song of Democracy. Sail, sail thy best ship of democracy. Of value is thy freight. 'Tis not the present only. The past is also stored in thee. Composer Howard Hanson conducted his Song of Democracy with the Eastman School of Music Chorus and Eastman Rochester Orchestra. The Whitman we've heard so far is a man who rejoices in the mystic bond between humankind and the universe. But there is another Whitman, a man who wept at the death and suffering he experienced at first hand in the American Civil War. In a moment, how those thoughts were shared by composers on both sides of the Atlantic with the onset of World War II. I'm Stephen Pythman. You're listening to Connections from Capital Public Radio. As the Civil War began, Whitman grew concerned about its impact on the nation, and in particular on the young men who were being sent off to battle on both sides. His first great war poem, Beat, Beat, Drums, is the centerpiece of Rayfawn Williams' cantata Dona Nobis Pacem, written in 1936 as Europe itself appeared to be marching toward war. Beat, beat, drums, blow, bugles, blow, through the windows, through the doors, burst like a ruthless force. Into the solemn church and scatter the congregation, into the school where the scholar is studying. Leave not the bridegroom quiet, no happiness must he now have with his bride, nor the peaceful farmer any peace, plowing his field or gathering his grain. So fierce you whir and pound, you drums, so shrill you bugles blow. This is followed by one of the most beautiful passages in any of Vaughan Williams, set to Whitman's equally haunting poem, Reconciliation. Word over all, beautiful as the sky, beautiful that war and all its deeds of carnage must in time be utterly lost, that the hands of the sisters, death and night, incessantly, softly, wash again and ever again this soiled world.
Thank you.
The Burnham Symphony, Bach Choir, Winchester Cathedral Choristers, Winchester College Choristers, and baritone Matthew Brook, conducted by David Hill, in an excerpt from Raphon Williams' Dona Nobis Pacem. During the Civil War, a friend of Whitman's helped him obtain part-time work in the Army Paymaster's office in Washington, D.C., leaving time for the poet to volunteer as a nurse in Army hospitals, an experience reflected in his poem, The Wound Dresser, set to music in 1988 by American composer John Adams. Whitman ends the poem by noting that in their delirium, soldiers would mistake him for their mother, wife, or sweetheart, as we hear in the final moments of Adams' setting, performed by baritone Nathan Gunn with the Burnham Symphony Orchestra, Maren Alsop conductor.
many a soldier's loving arms about this neck have crossed and rested. Many a soldier's kiss dwells on these bearded lips.
The Wound Dresser by John Adams, who has said that he finds power in Whitman's great simplicity, directness, and sincerity. For Kurt Vile, Whitman was a means of forging a new American identity for himself after escaping to this country from Nazi Germany. Shortly after the bombing of Pearl Harbor in December 1941, Vile composed four songs based on Whitman's Civil War poems. Here is his Dirge for Two Veterans, performed by Mark Padmore with Ian Burnside piano.
Sunbeam lightly falls from the finished Sabbath on the pavement here and there beyond. It is looking down a new-made double grave. Lo, the moon ascends. A silvery round moon, beautiful over the housetops, ghastly phantom moon, immense and silent moon. I see a sad procession. Hear the sound of coming full-keyed bugles. All the channels of the city streets, they're flooding as with voices and with tears. I hear the great drums pounding. And every blow of the great convulsive drums strikes me through and through. For the Son is brought with the Father. In the foremost ranks of the fierce assault they fell. To the veteran son and father drop together. My heart, oh my soul, dear.
Weill's merging of classical and popular musical forms parallels Whitman's breaking down of the divisions between high and low art, something Weill emphasized in his stage works, including The Threepenny Opera and Lady in the Dark. In that approach, Weill was very much like Leonard Bernstein, who moved easily and continually between popular and classical styles. His To What You Said, based on a fragment unpublished in Whitman's lifetime, is performed by Thomas Hampson, accompanied by Craig Rutenberg in the striking piano part.
Strayed hither for my sake, you can never belong to me, nor I to you. Behold the customary laws and friendships, the cold guards. Simple person, I am he who kisses his comrade lightly on the lips at parting, and I am one who is kissed in return. Salute!
to What You Said, written by Leonard Bernstein. Whitman's unpublished fragment, what may have been a private musing or unsent letter to a friend, is a remarkable assertion of freedom and responsibility, a statement that the love of comrades is the highest human good and that such love may express itself in any infinite number of couplings, man to man, wife to husband, friend to friend, individual to society, and poet to democracy. As always, it is the connection between human beings that is important to Whitman, a connection that is part of some greater meaning that he believes we can only catch glimpses of until that final moment when we leave the bounds of Earth. Our life is closed, our life begins, he writes. The long, long anchorage we leave. The ship is clear at last. She leaps. She swiftly courses from the shore. Joy, shipmate, joy. Those words are captured beautifully by Howard Hanson in his Sea Symphony from 1977, performed by the Seattle Symphony and Chorus under Gerard Schwartz. Three central themes run through Walt Whitman's poetry: democracy as a way of life, the beauty of the individual, and the natural cycle of life and death. Those ideas and the unique manner in which he expressed them have sparked an amazingly wide variety of composers over the years and continue to do so. I'm Stephen Pythman, inviting you to join me again for Connections. Recording engineer was Mark Jones. Connections is a production of Capital Public Radio.